Whenever we apply for a job, you often have to submit a resume as part of the application. And resumes do list different things. They usually list things like our accomplishments, awards we've won, schools we've attended, skills that we have, previous employment experience. And all of these things are usually listed on a resume to impress the person that is hiring us, so that way we get the job we're seeking. And sometimes we can be what I call resume Catholics, where we can list things that we do, maybe to try and impress God, or maybe look like we're trying to live our faith well. For example, we might say, I attend Mass every Sunday. I place an offering in the basket. I never miss an envelope. I send my children to Catholic school, or I make sure they receive all their sacraments on time when they're supposed to. I pray the rosary daily. I never miss an hour of EWTM programming, and if I do, I definitely TiVo it. Or I frequently listen to Catholic podcasts and media. Now, I'm not saying that any of these things are wrong or that we shouldn't do these things. These things are very edifying for our faith and can build up the church. In fact, we should do a lot of these things. But it is possible to do Catholic things and yet not be a follower of Jesus. It's possible to be a cultural Christian, meaning we've been maybe Catholic most of our lives or be a part of the culture, but not live the teachings of the church. It's possible to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist every Sunday at Mass and yet not know Jesus. In other words, we can build a nice resume of things that we do for the Lord, but yet not be a disciple of Jesus. And God did not remain an abstraction for us, because he came as flesh and blood, concretely in history. And we can continue to know him through the grace that is afforded to us through the sacraments of the church. We have the amazing ability to have a real relationship with Jesus, to know him intimately, just as he knows us intimately, through prayer and through the Mass. Our faith, it gives us real opportunities to be able to encounter Jesus. And the letter to the Hebrews explains very beautifully, this is a wonderful letter to sit and meditate with, especially on the priesthood, because it explains that because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us, him being an eternal high priest, he's then able to hand that on to the apostles, which extends down to the priests of today. And although, as it mentions in the letter, we are certainly weak, and as a priest I can attest to that I am certainly weak, we can know Jesus through a flesh and blood person, through a mediator, knowing that it is not the priest through which the sacraments take place, but through the power of Christ that is working through the instrument of the priest. We are actually meeting Christ in these places, in these sacraments, in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, in the healing sacrament of reconciliation, in the anointing of the sick, where we unite ourselves to the cross of Christ and also receive his healing grace, and in that time that we can spend in Eucharistic adoration. And it would be a real shame, with all these opportunities, these amazing abilities to meet our Lord, if we just did Catholic things our entire life, but we never really got to know Jesus, to experience his love for us, and to truly have that encounter with him. And in our gospel, we can see a transition that happens from the scribe. And the scribe was probably Jewish his entire life. The scribe asked Jesus, "What is the first of all the commandments?" And Jesus responds, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength," a commandment that many of the Jews would have heard throughout most of their lives. And then Jesus adds the second part to the commandment, which is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then after that, the scribe says something very profound. He says that this commandment is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus praises him by saying, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And in our lives, We can make all these sacrifices and burnt offerings by doing quote-unquote Catholic stuff. But if we don't truly love God, and also knowing that he loved us first and seeing God in our neighbor, then we miss the point of our faith. Because the more that we love God and we know his love for us, being those true disciples of Jesus, then we are able to then conform our lives to him and to think of him rather than the ways of the world, thinking about the things that will endure for eternal life rather than those passing things of this world. Furthermore, the way we treat our neighbor matters for our salvation. And that extends to a lot of different areas. That extends to how we serve others and provide hospitality to them, which are two pillars of stewardship. Father Wesley and I, during our stewardship renewal, have decided to preach on some of the different pillars of stewardship, and two of them are service and hospitality, two ways that we can really love God as our neighbor. And we should ask, do I give of my time for the needs of people within the body of Christ? Do I make them feel welcome? Do I volunteer to be able to serve at funeral luncheons, for example, or greeting people before Mass? Or maybe taking part in a liturgical ministry, like being an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, or being an altar server, or singing in the choir? Do I consider these things as an act of service, or do I just sit on the sidelines? Because the point is not to do as much activity as we possibly can, but to truly give of ourselves, just as Jesus gave of himself on the cross for us, just as he pours himself out in the Holy Eucharist at every Mass. We are called to give of ourselves and pour ourselves out by loving our neighbor as ourselves. And these are some of the ways that we can do that. Do I put on the mind of Christ as well when I form my conscience? For example, as many of you know, we have an election that's coming up on Tuesday. And we have to be well-formed in our conscience to be able to make decisions. And we should ask, do we see different people as our neighbor? Do we see Christ in those people? Do we see Christ in the dignity of the unborn, the elderly, the economic security of the poor, the immigrant, those that might experience racism in some way? Do we see those people as our neighbor? Do we see the protection of the domestic church or the family and God's original plan for marriage and creating us male and female and the proper care of creation is actually important to us? Because these are not just issues that might just be part of a party platform or something that we can check a box to say that we do, but they are actually incarnational. Incarnational means that it became flesh in the way that they affect real people and really mold our society from a Christian biblical worldview. And it goes beyond just the day of the election, whatever the results of the election may be, but we must continue to see Christ in every person, no matter what that other person may believe, even if they believe something differently than we do. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with that person or we couldn't walk with that person towards a conversion of heart. But we have to respect their dignity as a person and not see them as the enemy. That's a great temptation that we can have, is see someone other than ourselves. And this means really taking the time to listen to them. Notice in the gospel how Jesus doesn't turn away the scribe for asking this question. In fact, Jesus rarely doesn't turn anyone away for asking him a question. He hears them and truly listens to them and is able to encounter them in this life. And it's important for us to model that in our society as well, to truly listen to people, to give them that dignity. And we might learn something about them to help walk with them. And I'll conclude by a story that I think illustrates this, at least for me in my life. Last year, I was about to do a wedding here at the cathedral. And as I was walking from the office to the sacristy, just as I do, there was a homeless man that came that was sitting in the chairs that were out in the gathering space. And I was in a real rush to try and get things done. I had a lot of things on my mind to prepare for this wedding. But it was bitterly cold outside during that time, and this person needed a place to stay. Having exhausted all of his resources, he came to the church and was hoping that the priest of the church could help him. He was desperate, and he wanted help. And so, initially, I just wanted to brush it off so that way I could move on and do the next thing. I think we're often tempted to do when we sort of face something like this. I had had a wedding on my mind, a couple that I had to marry. But instead, I was able to stop, by the grace of God, I think, to be able to make a phone call to someone that I knew could give him the help that he needed. And when I was able to pray with him. And as I was talking with him, he mentioned that he had attended Catholic school and was Catholic during his life. And I helped make arrangements for him. And after I did that, I went on my way to celebrate, to start the wedding. And wouldn't you know it, during the wedding, I noticed that he sat in the very back during the ceremony. It was one of those things that I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what seeds were planted in that moment. But that time to be able to stop and listen and pay attention to him. And how often can that happen? Where we may see someone in a parking lot or someone in need or someone who needs our attention and we just walk away, or we're tempted to anyway. But it's that encounter that we have to have with the Lord, to see God in ourselves, to see God in our neighbor, and truly love the Lord with all our mind, heart, and soul, and our neighbor as ourself. So that way we don't just build Catholic resumes by doing Catholic things, but truly being Catholic disciples for eternal life.